whatever type of test you choose, it needs to stay sharp. That change in the controller output needs to be very distinct, simply because the whole point of the bump test is to see how those changes drive the reaction in the process variable.
Welcome to the McNaughton McKay podcast, your electrical connection. Each episode, we meet with an industry expert to tackle real issues in manufacturing. Join your host, Austin Davidson, to get the latest scoop on automation products and solutions.
Today, I am joined by Zaire Deleon. He's a field application engineer at Control Station, and they focus on PID tuning and loop performance monitoring. So, Zaire, thanks for joining us today. Could you explain to us, for those who may not know, exactly what a PID loop or a PID controller is?
Yeah, sure, Austin. Thanks for having me. So essentially, PID stands for proportional, integral, and derivative. What that is they are the values that automatically control and drive a process controlled by a PLC. So essentially, the terms stand for the P for how far you want your process to be driven, the I for how long you're looking for it to be driven, and the derivative is for resisting those changes.
Okay, so basically, we're looking at a feedback loop that automatically adjusts and kind of keeps things tame. So it's funny, I have an application that I've done in the home brewery that I have. I tried to manually tune one of these things and it went out of control extremely fast. And so I kind of gave up for all intents and purposes and went back to more of a basic method. But why is this so hard? And obviously that's something you guys specialize in. You've put a lot of energy into PID tuning and monitoring the performance of these loops. Why, you know, what are people doing that makes this so tough? You know, like what did I do wrong, do you think?
So a lot of the problem is that we don't spend really any time talking about PID control before we enter the workforce, right? So we may have some exposure to what loops are and how they're tuned, maybe through like basic manual processes, but we don't actually, or at least for the majority of us, as far as I've seen, really get like an in-depth education on how to do so. And obviously that presents an issue when you're expected to go into this facility and figure out how to get all of these loops to stop oscillating horribly if you don't even know where to start.
Well, and I can understand that this must get extremely complicated very quickly, because I was essentially just trying to tune temperature. So I had one variable. Is it too high? Is it too low? You know, what's the rate that we need to control? And I'm assuming with these systems getting bigger and bigger on the plant level, you probably have more than one variable, right?
Yeah, so that's actually a big problem that a lot of people face with tuning, is that because a lot of these processes are so interconnected, making adjustments to one process then suddenly changes the operating conditions of another one that they then have to go and tune and go back and keep going back and forth and trying to figure out exactly how these are interacting and getting them to stabilize without causing any further issues, right?
Sure. And you were talking earlier about oscillations in the, I'm assuming in the variables. So I'm expecting if one variable oscillates a little bit, that probably causes the next to oscillate more. And then does that become an exponential problem in the long run?
Yes, that's actually an issue that I have been working with recently with a food processor. They have a one PID loop within a specific process, a separator tank that had multiple other PID loops. And only one of them was oscillating poorly because the valve was sticking, and that one oscillation had then propagated throughout to the entire loop. So every single loop connected to that separator tank was also oscillating at the same time. And so that's why specifically tuning these loops and getting rid of those oscillations as fast as possible is incredibly important. Because once you lose track of it, it can easily get out of control and throw your whole process out of whack.
Yeah. And when we had kind of our pre-recording conversation, you kept using the term bump test. So I'm assuming bump test is what I was doing. And I'm thinking, if you're adjusting one variable with a bump, if you will, and it's affecting the whole other process, I don't ever see a world where that gets manageable. It just seems like that would be a complete nightmare.
Oh, you know, you're right. It definitely is. But it's pretty simple. You just got to start with that one loop that you think is causing those oscillations and go through the tuning process and try to get it under control.
So obviously there's better ways to do this. And I'm assuming having a better insight into what is actually going on, getting some real-time feedback is probably extremely important. Could we maybe talk through some best practices, or do you guys have some tips and tricks that people could follow or that we could highlight?
Absolutely. So one thing that I've noticed pretty extensively through my time in this career is that there are a number of people who default to the poke and hope method of tuning. Mm-hmm. You know, you take a number, you throw it into the controller, and you just watch the process and see what happens. Is it doing what you want it to? Good to go. Is it not? Then throw in some new numbers and hope for the best. Obviously, that gets some results, but that can end up taking days, if not weeks or months, to get even one or two loops under control.
Sure. Right.
So the best way to actually go about tuning these loops is, like you said, the bump test. And just to kind of clarify what that bump test is, it's a sharp and clear change in your controller output to kind of establish a relationship between that and your process variable, right? You're looking to, whether you're tuning manually or you're using some kind of tuning software to get your parameters, it's absolutely essential that you perform a proper bump test. It's possibly the most critical part of the entire tuning process, because without the good data provided through that, you're not going to get any parameters that are going to do what you want, and your loop is not going to be controlled properly.
Okay, so actually the first step is to do, I'll call it an educated bump test. So something where you can get, I guess, a little insight to kind of get started. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. There are actually a multitude of types of bump tests you can perform. The most basic being, you know, a simple step test. You know, you step your controller output up, mm-hmm. and then once you see a response in your process variable, you bring it back down. For the purposes of this, let's talk about that one. It's pretty basic. It's straightforward, and it does give you the information that you're needing. In regards to the actual bump test itself, what you need to keep in mind are just a few things. So whatever type of test you choose, it needs to stay sharp. That change in the controller output needs to be very distinct, simply because the whole point of the bump test is to see how those changes drive the reaction in the process variable. If you're slowly bumping it from one value to another, it may make it difficult to actually see how those two are interacting.
Sure.
Additionally, you may have like either a dead band or maybe some stiction on the valve that you may not be aware of, and slowly ramping it up with the valve resulting in sticking or stiction occurring will prevent, again, a clear, distinct relationship between that process variable and that controller output.
I would imagine that the simpler you can do this and the more constrained you can kind of keep the tuning, the better your output's going to be in the long run. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah. No, that's a correct statement. Yeah.
Okay. So we went through, you said, you know, we're kind of starting the bump test. Let's continue walking through what other methods or things should we be aware of if we're trying to do this ourselves?
Yeah. So another one is that you need to keep your design level of operation in mind, right? Your DLO. So essentially the idea is that you have obviously a set range within where your process can operate, your upper and your lower limits. And the idea of this bump test is that you want to actually utilize the furthest extent of your process possible.
Okay.
So if you have, so you want to get that bump test to as close to whatever limits you have to kind of capture the full dynamic range through where that process variable may be operating within. Right.
Sure. So we're essentially setting the limits at this point.
Yeah. Because if you're operating within, like, let's say you're trying to operate at like 100 degrees Fahrenheit, just a random number there, mm-hmm. and you're looking to operate maybe plus or minus 10 from that, you don't want to perform a bump test where you only increase the output by, you know, 3 degrees, because then you're missing out on the whole range above that and all the values below that.
Sure.
And so then the tuning parameters that you get are only going to be applicable to that specific range of operation.
Sure. And if people are familiar with like parabolas and stuff like that, you could be putting yourself in one part of the equation that totally looks different than the rest of the loop. So you probably want to, at this point you're saying limit testing. To me, it sounds like I'm trying to break it. I want to get to the point where it doesn't work anymore, or we are pushing this thing out of bounds of what we normally want to do, right?
That's exactly. You're trying to push it straight to its limits.
Okay. So we've gone through, we're doing the bump test. At this point, we're kind of doing, we'll call it the limit test. I like the break it test. Well, what's next?
One thing to keep in mind is that you need to mind your noise. obviously every single process has some degree of noise within it. And that can actually pose a problem when you're looking to tune loops, if you're tuning manually or if you're using some type of software. You're looking to make your bump test at least, I would say, 3 to 5 times the value of that associated noise, right? So however wide the band of that that noise is, you want to make sure your bump test is far enough outside of that, that there's actually like a distinct relationship that can be determined that isn't just the noise. So you want to see this process variable is moving not because of the noise, but absolutely because I made a change to the system.
Yeah, so we want to see a system response and not a noise response, essentially, right?
Exactly, and that ties into kind of the next tip that I would give is you want to keep it quiet. You want to avoid as many disturbances as possible within your data. So if you're aware that you have a regular disturbance that comes in every hour and a half, you don't want to perform your pump test and start doing your tuning right as that disturbance is coming in, right? Because you're looking to establish tuning parameters for the standard operating conditions.
So what you're saying is when we're doing this test, we need to tell everybody in the plant they need to not talk. They need to be quiet, right?
Well, maybe not that far, but yeah.
But I see what you're saying. If it's something that's maybe out of the ordinary that, you know, maybe isn't part of the regular procedure, then it's just going to throw more variation in there that we want to avoid if possible.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Well, okay. So we've walked through, we're bumping, we're pushing it to its limits. We're trying to make sure we're kind of not in a vacuum, but in a standard operating situation. Does that lead us kind of towards the end of this test?
Yeah, I would say the last thing to keep in mind is just let the dynamics show. Obviously, the purpose of the bump test is to understand that output and PV relationship. So when you're bumping, you want to make sure you're actually getting some kind of dynamic motion within the process variable. So it's not always necessary to let it stable, steady at a new value. But, you know, a clearer and stronger response will make for a more accurate model of the process and for more optimal control.
We have gone through, we have tuned this ourselves. This is such a complicated thing, and you just walked us through it in 10 minutes. So now everybody should be able to go and do it, right?
Well, maybe not just yet, but we've covered a fragment of the whole tuning puzzle.
Sure. So yeah, I was being a little facetious. So I'm assuming at this point, this is a good jump off, gives us kind of an idea of how it's done. I certainly still don't feel confident that I could go into the brew house and fix all of my tuning issues right now. So if we wanted to get a little bit more in-depth knowledge, do you guys have any information or workshops or classes or anything that we could do?
Yeah. So we actually do offer a PPC. It's a practical process control course. Comes in multiple different lengths and times, multiple 2 days, 4 days, whichever you're most interested in, remotely or in person. And essentially we spend the few days just kind of really going in depth onto process control and PID loops. They're long days, but you learn a whole lot. They cover every topic from tuning different types of loops, like level flow loops, more complex things like cascade and establishing feed forward. And it really kind of enlightens you onto all the little different aspects of PID tuning that you may not be aware of.
Maybe I need to attend one of those myself. That's all the questions I had. I think that's a good start. And I know at some point we're going to probably... I'm going to get you guys back on and we're going to talk a little bit more specifically how we would do this with software. In terms of the best practices, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
For now, I think we covered everything. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Here's some best practices for PID controller tuning. We'll call this the art of the bump test. So if you have any other questions about what we discussed in this episode or any of our previous episodes, please feel free to reach out at podcast@mc-mc.com or reach out to your local McNaughton McKay account manager. Zaire, thanks so much, man. Look forward to seeing you on here again.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see you again.